So this is reviewing the series I did almost 2 years ago about recovering from wrong doctrine. If you would like to get a head start, you can turn to 2 Timothy 1, please. What we're going to be covering today is the last two steps or stages of this series, which I don't know that I did a very good job of covering them in the past. So I want to review these and get a little bit more involved in what these two steps involve and what we're going to talk about today. We've covered denial, anger, bargaining. And the one I'm going to be covering today, or the two we're going to be covering today, is depression and acceptance. So you can see on the chart we have your mood or behavior is on this side and time is on this side. So as we progress in time, the stages actually progress. Number one, we deny it. It's not happening. We continue on with what we're doing. Number two is anger. We're presented with something different. We make a choice. We don't like it. We're angry about it. Number three, we also make another choice, which this is where you lose a lot of people who actually see what you're talking about, and they say, that's too hard. I don't want to deal with it. Number four is where we're going to be at starting today. Depression. Because if you do get past number three, you make choices that cause you to be invited the exit door of your denominational church or whatever church you're going to be or you did attend. 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 3. Let me get to the right Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of the hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the time that we can meet together and talk about these things and talk about the difficult things and work through them with like-minded believers and understanding what may and probably will happen in our lives. We thank you for this opportunity to read your word and be with us today as we do that. Thank you. Amen. Number three is when you'll see a lot of people take off. They don't want to believe it or they don't want to work through the issues. But if they do make that choice to find an exit door, you will find that number four is what really kicks in, and this is the hardest step. And you may not be able to see that. Number four is depression. This is the time when you start to see those friends that you have spent countless hours with start to slowly disappear. The calls or texts get fewer and shorter. The social media pages start to disappear. You can't see them anymore. And typically what that means is they're blocking you. They're unfriending you. They're unfollowing you. relationships that your family has developed start to become thin. The conversation becomes small talk instead of that deep, spiritual, intellectual conversation that you used to have. Children start asking about friends they no longer see. You start to look for like-minded believers in churches that regularly divide or rightly divide according to 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You may find some through the internet and maybe even find a church that is 45 minutes away at best. You come to find out that even the churches you visit that talk about grace or even have grace in their name don't rightly divide their Bible. This step can be paralyzing. It can last, if we let it, longer than it needs to. Now, I want to talk about something many churches and Christians, what their view on depression is. First of all, depression is a real thing. Depression is a noun. And the definition of it is deep dejection, characterized by withdrawal, lack of response to stimulation, feelings of severe despondency and dejection, typically also with feelings of inadequacy and guilt, often accompanied with lack of energy and disturbance of appetite and sleep. When I was growing up, and this is many more years ago, church folks will tell you that you need to get the joy of the Lord in your life, or get it back in your life. If you don't have that joy of the Lord, then you got a heart problem, or you have hidden sin, and you better get that dealt with. There's a certain stigma about depression and what it means. And it's often a lot in churches that a person needs to take medication to help with a person's depression. What's interesting about that is you can come to the church with an illness, a disease, an issue that's going on with your body, and you tell them you had to take medication for it, they're fine with it. I have something going on with my colon. I have to take daily medication for it. I have this illness. I have to take medication, maintenance medication for it. I'm glad you got help. But if you say something about depression, I'm depressed. My doctor prescribed me this. You need to get the joy of your Lord, joy of the Lord back in your life. It's crazy that it's okay to take medication for something that they feel is okay to take medication for. But when it comes to depression or anxiety or nervousness or something else, what? You don't need medicine for that. It's nuts. Maybe they need medication for something. It's okay for them to take medicine for what they need, but it's not okay for you to take medicine for depression or anxiety or something else. You want to look for some definition that's in your Bible? Go to Job. I guarantee you, he was at a low point. Look at Psalms. Look at David. You didn't think he knew about being low, being depressed? It's okay to ask for help when you're going through low times, when you're depressed. And if you go through all this and you start to see friendships and stuff and friendships, people start to disappear in your life, it's tough. If anyone tries to shame you for that, they're not helping you. Even though they think they are, they're not. Let's look at Romans real quick. Oh, sorry. Don't go to Romans yet. I just want you to understand that if people are saying that you don't need medication for something that is chemically going on with your body, but they feel it's okay for them to take something that's chemically going on in their body, that something's off, that's not help. They're hindering you, and they're hindering your growth. If we stay here and we don't continue to study, you're going to be there maybe longer than you should. Everybody has different processing abilities when it comes to this. So this may be you. This may be me. Everybody works through these things differently. It's not always going to be the same time frame. Okay? Just like grief, which is what we're seeing here. This is the process of grief. Everybody works through this process differently. We all need grace, right? And when we apply that to our friends, our family, somebody we're trying to help, we need to understand that certain people take certain amounts of time to work through that. So when we finally get to step number 5, we work through these 4 steps or stages. We come to the 5th step. Number 5. And the good thing is, when you come to here, you're heading in the right direction. You're heading in the right direction when you continue to move forward this way, working through it. It's not easy, but you're still heading in the right direction. Number 5. Let's look at step number 5 of acceptance. The last step. You're now on the upswing, accepting the state you are in, the circumstances you have endured. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians 3:13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You accept the fact that you've spent a lot of time in a church that did not teach right division. You've accepted the fact that you've lost friends, family members, close relationships have fallen away. You have moved past the bargaining stage to stay there and try to work through that. You have worked past the depression of it, of the loss. You have accepted what now is, and the possibility that you can and will maintain and keep moving on throughout your life. You may even start to find grace believers who rightly divide their Bible, and you start your own assembly, sometimes in the living room of somebody's house. If you stay in Philippians 3, look at 15, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your manner of life? Where is your manner of life or conversation supposed to be? It's supposed to be in heaven, not carnal things, not earthly things. Things will start to get easier when you're looking up. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. When you start looking in your heavenly home, what's your conversation supposed to be, or manner of life supposed to be? 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. First Timothy 2, verse 1. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wherefore I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's stop there. We start to see a shift in how we are to prepare, sustain, and endure this carnal earthly life. Our focus shifts to heavenly thoughts, and grace and peace is starting to take hold in our hearts and minds. Jump back to Romans 8, please. Romans 8, chapter 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5 and 6, for they are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's look, jump back to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Please recognize and notice the word before doctrine. When you get to the acceptance stage, you're going to need long suffering. Not only dealing at times and the opportunities that you get to deal or instruct those that oppose themselves. When you were back here in denial, you're going to be dealing with people that are in denial or that are angry, or that are trying to bargain, or that are depressed. You're going to have to help them work through that when you get the opportunity, when they're ready. I'll close with a couple stories of family members that we got the opportunity to enjoy their personality, but also an analogy that it came to my mind yesterday. Being this weekend, there's a lot of people out and walking around the street, and I'm driving to a family member's funeral, which unfortunately I went to two different funerals that it was not at. And over the course of driving, trying to find the correct funeral home, I'm watching these people walk across the street. And have anybody seen the droopy pants people? The droopy pants people, where they're walking down the road, their knees out, kind of walking on their hind end down and just trying to make it, right? I saw this young man walking around. Of course, his pants are down. He has a belt on. I'm just like, what in the world? What are you doing? And I like seeing things that help me understand my Bible better. Believe it or not, this helped me understand my Bible better. And it helped me understand how people don't rightly divide. So I want you to look at it like this. You see somebody with droopy pants and they got a belt on. Okay? So we're getting to the point here. The Bible is the belt. Okay? The pants are your Christian walk. The application of the Bible is in their walk, but it's not applied correctly. It's not in the right place. When you rightly divide your Bible, that belt in your pants is going to be above your waist, and your walk is going to be a lot easier and a lot faster. But when you're not rightly dividing your Bible, you're going to be looking like one of those kids walking around, knees out, trying to keep the pants up. That one was free. No charge for that. No. The other thing I want to talk about is when we are able to rightly divide our Bible and we can start seeing souls saved and saints edified, we need to understand our ministry. And a lot of times growing up, there was immense pressure from the people in the church and the leaders in the church to be at the church every time the doors are open. The problem with that is sometimes our ministry doesn't involve the actual church building. If your church is pressuring you to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday Bible study, Tuesday evening at a men's group, Wednesday morning for a prayer meeting, those in and of themselves are not bad things. Please don't misunderstand me, please. But sometimes your place is to be at home with your family. And your ministry is to your family and your friends. And it's okay not to go to church every time the doors are open. Sarah's grandma, we called her Babe, Grandma Babe, and she was a dear lady, and she was not afraid to speak her mind. And she told my father-in-law one time, as he was getting ready, the whole family was over, and he felt he had an obligation to be there every time the doors were open. Again, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever. And she had this perfect voice to tell him. She said, "Jake, that's just too much church." And sometimes it's okay to say that. It's too much church. When you have a right ministry at home, Stay home. Know where you're supposed to be. Recently, I met a cousin that we hadn't never met them. They live out west, and we found out he was a pastor for many years. I forget the number, but it's a very, very large number of years he was a pastor. And we had asked him, is there anything you regret? He said, I regret not spending more time with my family. I regret that I always went to church when the doors were open, and I didn't spend more time with my family. So we all need to be aware of that. Let's close with a couple more scripture, and then we'll be done. We can enjoy our meal. Let's go back to Romans 8, 35 to 39. When we are rightly dividing our Bible and we are looking to our heavenly home and we are enduring the things, the persecutions, afflictions, Romans 8:35 through 39 says, "For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jump back to Romans 8:23. No, that's not it. I'm just going to look it up real quick. Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected of the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." I hope this review of the series that I did a while back helps you on your walk. I pray that we all will be willing to work through this process to be able to come to an understanding of right division in our Bibles and to realize that even though we went through the time in our lives that we sat under wrong doctrine, we still have work to do. We still have purpose. We don't have to stay at step four. If we accept it, grow from it, and continue to work for our heavenly home and try to do our best to study, to show ourselves approved, to see souls saved and to edify the saints. And I will say that when it talks about edifying the saints, that doesn't mean, it does mean everybody, but you're also included in that. And that's why I say when you're like Grandma Babe would say, that's too much church. Sometimes you need to take a step back and work on your edification, right? Well, is the food ready?
Yes. China will have a JoJo shortage. I'm not kidding. So just take a couple.
I'll tell you what, let's close in prayer and pray for the JoJo situation.